Hello and welcome back to Nerds Talk Movies. My name is Taylor Cole and I'm going to be your host today. Joining me is not Tristan Ben. It's not Drew Garrison. It's not a guest co-host from another podcast. Joining me today from the Nerd Stash Show and the soon-to-be Power Up and Game podcast, Michael Mosley. Michael, how you doing?
I am doing all right, and I'm actually kind of excited to talk about a fun video game movie.
You said it right there, man. We're going to be talking about, with only a month until the sequel releases, we're going to be talking about the surprise hit, the surprise 2020 hit known as Sonic the Hedgehog. And let's take a look real quick at how we got here, Michael. Let's take a trip back to that first trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog. It seems that a lot of people were already a bit cautious about a live-action movie about the world's fastest hedgehog. And safe to say, this trailer really tipped the scales and not in the movie's favor. I'm sure everyone remembers the backlash from the first trailer, but if you didn't, my words can't do it justice, alright? Just Google the first design for Sonic. It's probably been a while since you've seen it, listeners, and it's certainly a thing to see. Michael, I've dropped the image of that first design in our rundown. So tell me, man, what were your thoughts on that design then, and what are your thoughts on it now?
Well, back then, it's exactly what I feared. Movie studios have never really done a great job with staying faithful to character designs, and this really proved it. And for some reason, it just gave me like a horror feel, like those parody movies. It just looked like a character that would have came from one of those parody movies, like Scary Movie, but yeah. Not the good ones, like
the scary movie version of Sonic.
yeah, Sonic that EXE. Please don't look that up if you're like bad with horror. But yeah, it was just such a stupid, creepy looking design. But now I want them to release like a special edition of the first Sonic movie with that design just to see how much it changed the feel of the movie.
See, I both do want to watch a version of that and I don't, because I just really don't like this design.
Oh no, it's terrible.
It's so weird. Sonic has these human features. Yet Sonic's obviously a hedgehog, but has human teeth. It looks like eyelids. I don't think he even has gloves either. Yeah, that's just part of his fur there that I'm looking at. Like, it's just so awkward looking.
It's uncanny. They hit the uncanny valley.
And there are certain moments in this movie, and we'll talk about it in the actual retrospective, but where the movie wants you to feel, and I think it succeeds at that, at Sonic being this adorable kid hedgehog. But this design would not have worked with it at all.
No, it was terrible.
Because the new design, I think it works perfectly. With the big eyes, and you're like, oh, this little thing. No, you don't want it to die. But this thing, you're watching it get hurt, and you're like, I don't feel at all.
I'm okay with it getting
weird.
Hurt.
I don't know what this thing is.
Well, I think the thing is, it's because they try to make him look too realistic, like as if he fit in our world. And the newer design, not only did it stay truer to a more cartoony Sonic, but it does look like he's from another world. Like it looks like he does not fit in our world. And I think that really works because it helps him stand out.
But usually movies like this just plow full speed ahead and they don't even acknowledge that people essentially clown the main character's design to oblivion. However, the people behind Sonic the Hedgehog didn't ignore it. Instead, they actually addressed it head on. Back in 2019, Jeff Fowler, the movie's director, took to Twitter and announced that Sonic would be undergoing a new redesign, saying, quote, and here's his tweet, "Thank you for the support and the criticism. The message is loud and clear. You aren't happy with the design and you want changes. It's going to happen. Everyone at Paramount and Sega are fully committed to making this character the best he can be. Sometime thereafter, Paramount and Sega would show the new look for Sonic, and it was a massive improvement. And honestly, I'm kind of understating that. The new Sonic looked pretty damn great. Michael, what are your thoughts on the redesigned Sonic? We kind of touched on it earlier, but...
It's so much better, and it fits the movie's tone a whole lot better than that last design. I like the point that they didn't try to go realistic, that you see this blue blur, this thing that's moving like super fast. Somehow it feels more, I'm not gonna say realistic, but it feels more real. Like you can suspend your sense of disbelief with a cartoon hedgehog more, way more than with a realistic whatever that last thing was supposed to be. So when you see Sonic like acting out or spinning or doing things you know he probably could never do as that realistic design, you buy into it because he looks like a cartoon character. He looks like he can survive a fall that would probably break bones. He looked like he can do spin moves or move super fast. Like when he shows off his powers, you believe it way more with a cartoon hedgehog than with a realistic CG design. So I really enjoyed the newer design a whole lot more. It looks like Sonic from the video games, but it also looks like his own character, kind of like the Archie comics and the old, what was it, 80s, 90s cartoon Sonic. Like they all had their own feel to them. Like they had their own Sonic feel to them. And I think with the live action movie, this was the right move to make because he feels like his own character. And you didn't really feel like, oh, why isn't he talking like this? Or why isn't he doing a that's no good line or stuff like that? Like you buy in like this is a new Sonic. This is a different version.
Yeah, and I think it's partly because this movie and the team behind it, they went in and they listened to feedback. I think a lot of people took that as like, wait, for real? You guys are really changing it? What? And I'm not saying like the new design's bad. Like I just said, it was pretty damn great. But I think that also helped the fact that people were so willing to go, you know what? You guys are right. You guys say this looks terrible. This isn't what you're wanting. We need to change it because we're trying to put out the best product possible for you guys. So we're going to change it. And I think it really does help with this movie. You mentioned the tone that it was going for. And the whole point of the movie is Sonic is from this other world. Why the hell, I don't know if this was ever the plan. Like, if they changed that part of the movie, possibly. I don't think they did, but, like, why the hell were you going for this human hedgehog hybrid looking thing to live on another world and then come to Earth? You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I think it really fits a lot more for what this movie ends up being. And I think it helps a lot with the comedy. I think it helps with the drama. I think it helps with Ben Schwartz. I would feel so bad for Ben Schwartz if it stuck with the first design. And he had to deliver that great performance I think he gives with that design. And everybody would probably still hate it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because the way Sonic looks.
Oh, definitely. I mean, hey, I think the guy's funny. I liked him in Parks and Rec. And I think he's a funny guy. And if I would have seen that movie, actually, I wouldn't have gone to theaters if that thing was the design. I would have waited for it to come to streaming services to watch it. I'd have been like, I don't know if this is supposed to be funny because from that old design, it doesn't look as expressive as the newer design, as the design we actually got. Like when you look at the way they screamed in the trailer, if you compare the two, the newer design Sonic, the one we actually got, seemed to have more expression. So it was kind of weird. And with this movie, he has all kinds of expressions here. And it would have been super weird to see that realistic CG thing trying to make like a happy face. Like it would have been creepy no matter what. And with the newer Sonic, it fits. So yeah, Ben would have been a wasted talent if they would have stuck with the old design. But sticking with that design...
This new Sonic design just also, it endears the character to the audience. Like I said, it I know I'm repeating myself here, but it makes the character to where people look at him and, oh, I don't want this thing to get hurt. And I bring it up again just because I'm looking at the side by side right now.
Yeah, but he's likable just by looking at him.
Like, you can't endear the audience to, like, facial expressions with that kind of design. The original design, that is. Because, I mean, you nailed it. Like, there's just so much I think you can do with the bigger eyes and the more cartoonish face. And just more, also, just the character looks more how he usually does in every kind of medium he's been in.
Yeah, and I think when it came down to fixing Sonic, usually you don't get studios that do things like this. They just endear it and you're like, well, people are watching anyway because of the name. But I think not only did Sega get to a studio, but Jeff and the rest of the crew, I think they were able to use this as a good way to push Paramount for this newer design. Because when you do movies like this, there's always like a dozen or so designs that they have. And the way, and as fast as they fix this, I think they've already had a design like this ready to go. And I think having the audience, or at least on Twitter, like slam the way the movie looked, really helped Jeff and the team push the design I think they really wanted to use in the first place.
It still took some time.
No, it took some time, but like when you think about CG
maybe
and rigging,
some kind of base. Yeah, maybe some kind of like base, like, hey, we could go for more cartoonish feel. I don't think we're ever going to know the full extent of like who signed off on it and everything, because that's something nobody's going to ever admit to. But when it comes to like, I'm sure that they might have had some kind of like base, like, hey, we could go for this cartoon look, this more realistic look, and just not a great call on that first design. Like, and absolutely just terrible. Again, so much, a great amount of appreciation to the people behind this movie to go, hey, you know what, we're gonna make a better version of it by changing the character. Because as you just said, as I mentioned in the How We Got Here thing, that does not happen too often. A lot of the time the movie is just gonna go, well, we're just going to ignore all this criticism and go right to the finish line. We got to do it. We got to just get that money, you know? We just got to ignore everything. We have our blinders on and all that kind of stuff. But, so how did all this end? You all know this already. Sonic the Hedgehog was, by critical and financial standards, one of the best video game to movie adaptations to date. It was also one of the last movies to have huge success before the pandemic hit. Michael, let's kick this thing off, man. What are your general thoughts on Sonic the Hedgehog?
It was surprisingly good. Like, I saw it in theaters, especially after that redesign, the whole redesign thing. I was like, okay, so obviously the people who's working on this care, so I'll take a chance and watch it, because it looked like an okay movie in the trailers. But watching it in theaters, it was surprisingly fun. It was one of those, it reminded me when I was a kid and I first saw Scooby-Doo, the live action Scooby-Doo movie. And yeah, watching it now is cheesy and corny and dumb, but it was fun. And I really enjoyed that. And watching stuff like this, I was like, wow, it reminded me back when, like, before DC and Marvel started like really kicking off with cinematic universes and like having all these larger than life characters come to the screen. It reminded me of when I was a kid and I saw some of my favorite stuff like Power Rangers and Scooby-Doo on the big screen. It gave me this weird nostalgic feeling that I haven't gotten from a whole lot of movies before. And it also stood on its own because it was a cool Sonic movie. It was like, oh wow, I enjoyed the old cartoons. I'm not really a huge fan of the games. I like some of the older ones, but I've fallen out of the games, but I still like the character. And I really think they hit the nail on the head with Sonic. Like, before he hit the whole too cool for school deal, they really went with the whole he's younger, learning, but a more modern Sonic. Like, he did the floss, which people were like, oh, why'd he do that? It's like, he's still a kid. Like, kids still do that. And I think them making Sonic a preteen or a small kid. I don't know how old he was when they first showed him, but I guess he's like,
seems like about 10 to 12 kind of deal.
Yeah.
I think timeline fits. Like, it'll it kind of tells you what his age is, but
In the movie, it shows him as like a little kid, like a little tiny mm-hmm. hedgehog, and then it skips 10 years later. So I guess he'd be like 2 around that time, but who knows how his world works. So I guess we would say like 12, but he's still a kid, he's still learning, and seeing Sonic as a kid is really cool. Like, I really enjoyed that, because again, I used to watch the old cartoons where he would say things like, "That's no good," and he's like this really cool hip Sonic, and seeing him as a more modern child Sonic is actually really cool, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
I think you compare that to, and keep in mind, here's one thing I gotta say as a caveat here: I have not seen the Uncharted movie.
Okay, neither have I.
I'm waiting for streaming. I've heard mixed things. I've heard some people say it's really good. I've heard some people say it's complete trash. We'll see whenever, I guess, it hits streaming. But I think a lot of people who were so against Tom Holland as Nathan Drake and Mark Wahlberg as Sully was, why do the young versions of these characters? And it came off across, instead of for the sake of the story, for the sake of a studio trying to get big names. Right.
Well, that, and yeah, I think they want to turn into a franchise. So you got to get Tom
exactly. Young. And with Sonic, I think this was done to further a story that they wanted to tell. It's like, I don't think Sonic is supposed to be all that old in the games and everything. I'm not a massive Sonic fan, so excuse me. I'm sorry if I'm speaking low and out of turn.
Yeah, but I think they're still like kids. I think they're like at least teenagers. I know Sonic and Amy, mm-hmm. and I think Knuckles might be like the oldest out of all of them, but yeah, I think I know mm-hmm. Tails is a kid. He's younger than everybody else. Cream is like a, not toddler, but like a child, like a small kid. Her mom's an adult, and I think Amy's a kid as well. Yeah, I think Sonic is a teenager and Knuckles is probably the oldest out of all of them.
But I think it fits so much by having Sonic be this kid, this 10 to 12 year old kid who, like you just mentioned, the flossing thing. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to, if you're the adult in the room, you're supposed to be like, oh, come on. Because that's what kids do, though. But the comedy mostly lands with it. And not only that, I think that it adds to the family story that they're going for. And I think it's a very good story. And off of that here, Michael, I want to go right into, by the way, I thought it was a really good movie. I didn't really share any of my thoughts. I'm going to wait till we get into specific. Thought this was just a damn fun movie that I did not expect to be good when I watched it. But off of that here, Michael, I have a few bullet points for us to talk about. We don't have to talk about it in any particular order. I just have a few plot points and a few things that I don't want us to forget about. And the first thing I do want to talk about, though, is the dynamic between Sonic and Tom and the main story here. I thought this was very well done. Like, James Marsden is a fantastic actor, in my opinion. And I thought he crushed it as Tom. I thought the human characters in this movie were actually pretty good. Which is usually not the case. Case in point, Transformers. And not only that, I love the family dynamic to where Sonic just has never had a family. By the end of it, he finally gets one. It's a simple, sweet story. Also, this is just a fun kids movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one of the big things that put a lot of people off was, we're going to put it in the real world and we're going to have humans. And usually when you do stuff like that, that can be a huge miss. It's not even really touch and go, hit and miss. It's more miss than hit. But a few movies have done it well. Looney Tunes have done it. Roger Rabbit. In fact, Roger Rabbit is probably like the best example you can give for having human cartoon hybrids in the same world. But Sonic does a great job with that. And this isn't even the first time humans in the world of Sonic has ever like mashed. There's been plenty of games where humans are involved. There's been cartoons where humans were involved. most specifically Sonic X, which a lot of people actually enjoyed. That was an anime. So yeah, having humans and Sonic together, thankfully, is technically lore in all like kind of ways that you could think of. So it didn't feel off-putting, but having these kind of movies, like it's a family movie and there's humans involved, there's always a chance, like you said, Transformers, where we would get more of the humans than the unrecognizable characters. And by unrecognizable, I mean like to the casual audience. Like they know Sonic, but they don't know about Sonic. And they usually put so much effort on the humans that nobody cares about that they take away from the Transformers, or they could take it away from Sonic or any other characters that you could put in there.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there, man. I think this movie does a perfect balance between making you care about Tom and the rest of the human characters while putting the focus pretty much on Sonic and making you care about this child hedgehog. And I think that's another reason they made Sonic younger, to endear the character to the audience, to be like, hey, this is a kid out here on its own who has no friends, no family, no anything. So I think it was a very great call to do all that. And I just think it works pretty well, especially, like I told you this before we recorded, I don't think in this movie, and this is not a shot at it, please don't take it as such, but we're not going to be able to dive into like these intricacies of Sonic the Hedgehog as a character or anything like that. Because this isn't that kind of movie. Like we talked about Peacemaker on a previous episode where we're going into how this character became who he is, how he became this villain, his upbringing, and all that stuff. You can't do anything like that here. This is not meant to be that. This is a fun popcorn film. I think it does that very well. And it does that through, I think, these human characters, through Sonic, and through those relationships.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you can get into it a little bit. Because they do actually a good job. They spent a good amount on Sonic being alone. But he's watching everybody around him. But they do a good job of showing, like, this is pretty much his daily routine and what he does. And he looks happy now. But
then the baseball scene was very good.
Yeah,
then where it showed like he's really all alone and he just loses that moment. And that's the spark of the movie too. So
yeah, that was like the big thing right there. And I think they did a great job of like showing emotional depth for Sonic himself with this. Like you don't get a whole lot of kid movies who would do that. Like they'll have a scene or two where the character is sad, but they really put an emphasis on showing Sonic losing the one bit of family he had with the owlet, I think her name was Longclaw, and him being hunted his whole life, his whole 10 years or 12 years, and that he wants to make a connection with people, but he's still trying to keep himself hidden to keep himself safe. And it was just like, it's so conflicting because you're like, oh man, you want Sonic. Because you know Sonic is a good person already. Like, he's just a kid. He's having fun or he's trying to live his best life. And he even tries to make up for it. He's like, oh, yeah, I got everything I want. I got a home and a ground. I got a beanbag. I got comic books. I get food and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, man, you're trying to, like, show the silver lining here. But then when you see Sonic watching movies with other people without them knowing he's there, or watching him play baseball, it's like, yeah, man, you're really sad. And then they did this joke, yeah, where Sonic is sitting in therapy, and it's just him being his own therapist. And you're like, man, he has to talk to himself all the time, constantly. And you really get a feel for this CGI hedgehog who shows off a lot of emotions. And every time he tries to show that, oh, I'm happy, later on you see like, no, you're not as happy as you think you are. And you see Tom trying to move on with his life, trying to do bigger and better things. And you can see it in his eyes that, hey, I'm not happy here. I love these people, but for me, I want to do more. And so having these two themes of somebody who wants a family and somebody who's leaving behind sort of a family to do bigger things and mash together, it does a great job of bringing both these characters together and showing off emotional themes of being alone and moving forward and what home actually means.
And I think you brought up a good point about this movie spending so much time on Sonic and giving him more depth than a lot of kids' movies do with the main characters. And I think what separates a movie like Sonic or something, for example, like Wreck-It Ralph, is it does that. Like, you, I think that's a reason why people consider Wreck-It Ralph to be one of the best animated movies ever. It's because it really strips down the main character. And it's still wildly entertaining for kids to watch, but it gives adults and parents or just anybody watching it an extra reason to. You know, it gives them more than just the baseline, oh, here's the joke. It gives you more of a, oh, this guy is so alone. He's playing the bad guy, you know? I think Sonic does, it has that kind of story too, to where he's alone. He's pretending that he's a part of this town. He's really not. And I think it just does that so well.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, it is kind of like with Wreck-It Ralph. It breaks down these likable characters. For Sonic, it's, hey, he's not an intruder. He's just alone in the world. And with Ralph, it was, yeah, he's a bad guy because he was designed that way. But in reality, he's not really a bad guy. He's just forced to play this role. And for Sonic, that role of being alone takes a toll on him emotionally. And and the whole Mushroom Planet deal and not wanting to go there, but he's willing to do it if it means saving others and protecting himself in a selfish way, honestly. You really feel for these characters because they really break them down to being more than just, it's a CGI character. It's like, no, these things have emotions. They're people. They're just people from a different world. And I think that was the strongest point of the Sonic movie, was they did surprisingly give Sonic a lot of depth. And when they could have just, like you said before, they could have just gone joke to joke to joke. Here's a fart joke.
Yeah. Or you compare, like, to bring up a movie that wasn't received as well, the Emoji Movie. To where, like, you just nailed it on the head there without knowing it. Where it just felt like joke, 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 and it didn't really fit at all. They had Patrick Stewart literally playing a piece of crap.
You know, I still haven't seen that movie yet.
I don't think you're missing anything at all. But honestly, I think that's the differences between those kind of movies, to where people are, not only is it, oh, the comedy lands a lot better for everyone, but I think just the movie itself is just a lot better story-wise and a lot better theme-wise, and it speaks more, not as in depth, but more than a lot of other movies in that genre, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, like, you can't just do those kind of jokes anymore because it feels lazy. It's always felt lazy, but it's like, oh, it's for kids. Now it's like, yeah, a lot of those kids have grown up and still likes cartoons.
Look, dude, I like a good fart joke as much as the next person.
I mean, hey, Sonic has a fart joke in here, which I giggled at in the theaters. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, okay.
But when it's your entire movie.
Yeah, and sometimes even kids don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's not, you talk about the Scooby-Doo movies too, and saying you love them as a kid. I like the first one, but the second one, I think that was, like, it's not, and I was a kid around that time. You're not just automatically like, oh, it's a cartoon, I like it as a kid. Like, you gotta have something to attach yourself to, whether you are 24 or whether you're 12 or 8, you know? And I think this movie does that very well, and I think it also does that through Ben Schwartz's Sonic. And we kind of talked about this earlier. Ben Schwartz, to me, is very good as Sonic. You mentioned you saw him in Parks and Rec. I love his character in Parks and Rec. I love how much of a doofus he is in that show. It's great. And it's weird to really root for him in a project here.
It is. But I actually questioned why they chose him when they first showed off the movie. I was like, really? I mean, don't get me wrong, he's funny, but really? And for some reason, his voice, it fits this character so much that if you look at the old design again, as we were talking about, I don't think his voice would fit with that character. It's so weird.
Yeah. And I don't remember the first trailer much at all. But I think you do hear him talk through the meow thing that you see also in the final cut. But yeah, I just think Ben Schwartz does a fantastic job as Sonic. I think he's very funny most of the time. I think he endears the character to the audience. I don't think there's ever a time where I didn't like Sonic, even when he's going against Tom and wanting to move away, where it's like, you can still put into perspective, oh, Sonic's a kid. He is not understanding the moral, like, the complexity of somebody having to leave somewhere they love because they feel like they have to do something different. Like, yeah. The world is kind of black and white here for Sonic.
Yeah, because he...
And even at the end, Sonic kind of goes like, I also kind of get what you're coming from, and I know why you're doing it. So I think this character's so good, and there's a big reason why, and that reason is Ben Schwartz.
Yeah, that, and I think the writing, because they did give Sonic a good reason for not liking that Tom, a guy he knows nothing about, that he doesn't like Tom leaving. Because for him, he has had to jump from home to home to home so much that he found Green Hill and loved it so much that he kept himself out of trouble for so long until that one incident. That it made sense that he would be sad that the people he's gotten to know are leaving the town, especially Donut Lord. He had grown so attached to Tom at that time anyway, and his wife, Pretzel Lady, and, you know, the crazy guy. I forgot what they called him, Crazy Carl or something like that. Sonic has grown so attached to all of these people from so far away that, you know, they're family in a way, like cousins and nephews and stuff like that. So it made sense that Sonic would be sad or even mad that Tom was getting ready to leave, because like you said, he's a kid. He doesn't understand, hey, I want to do bigger, better things. I want to leave. And Sonic thing was, why would you want to leave when everybody here cares about you? They call on you for help. He's like, yeah, but small things. To Sonic, anything that people call you for is a good thing, because who's calling on Sonic? Like, who even knows he even exists except for the crazy guy?
Yeah, and plus it's one of those things where Tom isn't realizing how much he means to everybody else in town, and I think that's it's a nice little story there, you know? Nice little message to be like, sometimes you don't have to do the grand ways to help people in the world. Sometimes you can just help your community out, and that's enough, you know? And that's pretty good.
Yeah, it really gave the humans more of a reason to be around. Yeah,
and that's why I brought up Transformers, because it feels like Transformers. Those movies, it gives the humans too much time, and
it really does.
Just takes away from the characters everybody gives a damn about. The audience ain't there to watch Shia LaBeouf or who's the actor's name?
Megan Fox,
or Megan Fox, or Tyrese, or Josh Duhamel. They're not there to watch those actors. They're there for Optimus fucking Prime and Bumblebee and Hotshot. And Hotshot, unfortunately, is not that huge of a character in that series. But besides the point, this movie understands that. It understands that the audience is here for Sonic. Sonic's name is on the fucking title. So the movie should be about Sonic.
Yeah, and I think that's what really works for this movie, is that they understood that people are there for Sonic. Like, you can have human characters, mm-hmm. sure, but everybody's there for Sonic. They want to see Sonic. And I think when they wrote the movie, the people who wrote it and the director, they understood that, hey, we want to see Sonic. Like, a lot of those people probably grew up playing the game, or at least knowing about it, and like heard their friends talk about it and this and that. So it probably helps that those people are like, yeah, we understand. You want Sonic the Hedgehog. You want to see Sonic. You know,
and not only that, it's not like just putting the focus on the character like that. It's like, okay, we did our job. It's good. No, they made sure that the story, it had some heart to it. It had some, again, it's not crazy in depth, but it has that reason to give a damn about it, you know?
It has an actual
plot. And
it
made Sonic, yeah, and it had Sonic be this, and granted, it's not a complex plot, but it's a road trip kind of, we got to get to San Francisco so I can get to another world and escape from this crazy dude chasing me. which we'll talk about here in a second because I really want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I do like, but before we move on, I do like that the excuse they made that Sonic couldn't just run all the way to San Francisco because he had no idea where he was going.
Yeah. He ran right into the Pacific, he said. That was great.
Yeah, he was given direction, ran there, and was like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going. So I actually, because at first I was like, why do a road trip with Sonic the Hedgehog? That makes no sense. But, you know, they actually gave a really good reason. Like, he's a kid. He doesn't know Earth. He knows Green Hill, but he doesn't know Earth. He doesn't know where he's going. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
But that's what I think this movie does, though. It gives the humans enough to where you give a damn about them. It gives Sonic the main spotlight to where he's also an endearing character that you never really dislike. He's pretty funny throughout the movie. I don't think every joke lands. I think the comedy is mostly... It's good. I don't think there was ever a time where I was completely just on the floor laughing or anything like that. But I never felt like there was a lot of jokes that I just sighed at, you know? It wasn't like, oh, this isn't funny, this is entertaining. I was always entertained throughout. I think it's because of the comedy in this movie and because of the characters.
Yeah, I agree. Especially since Tom and Sonic actually has like good chemistry between the two. It's actually really cool. I forget the name of the actor who played Tom.
James Marsden.
Okay, thank you. I like that he wasn't doing the typical overreacting thing, always yelling kind of deal, because, you know, you're acting next to a CG character.
Yep, and that's so difficult, no matter what role it is. If you're like, hey, your main companion in this movie is going to be this CGI character, and you're going to have these emotions and deliver these lines, it's really difficult. Like, I remember reading something about, like, Stephen Amell back when Arrow was ending, and saying, like, he had to deliver his final lines because scheduling was so messed up to a tennis ball. And I was just sitting there like, that's kind of hard to get into the mood to do that, you know?
They also had to do that with Arrested Development, the final season for that.
Yeah,
because everybody's schedule was...
don't get me started on that, man. Don't get me started on those last two seasons.
Oh, man. Everybody's schedule was so packed that they couldn't even act next to one another. They had to, like, CG everybody in. And I was like, they had to green screen everybody in. I was like, oh, man, that explains so much.
Because the whole cast had become megastars. I won't say megastars, but they became huge stars after that. By the way, RIP to Jessica Walter.
Oh, man, yeah.
Fantastic actress, man. Fantastic. But you know who else is fantastic? Jim fucking Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. Man, you know, Jim Carrey, through the years...
I'm sorry, but Jim Carrey carried the movie.
I think he did, too. Throughout his career, Jim Carrey has played so many outlandish characters, from Cable Guy to Ace Ventura to you name it. He's played it. He tried a few movies being serious, I think, to varying degrees of success. But he can nail outlandish humor. And he fit like a glove here as Dr. Robotnik. This dude was hilarious throughout the entire movie. Like, his mannerisms were hilarious. His jokes were just like, not peak Jim Carrey, but like, oh, that's...
It definitely felt like a more kid-friendly Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it's like you're getting the Jim Carrey experience.
Yeah, like, yeah.
For anybody who hadn't experienced Jim Carrey before, this was like you're scratching the surface, but you're getting the usual stuff you get from him.
And I think that's what's great about Jim Carrey. Like, he can do kid-friendly stuff. He can do family-friendly stuff. He's a great actor. I know we all know him mostly from, like, Ace Ventura and Cable Guy, like you mentioned. And
Liar, Liar. I feel like I'm just naming some of... like his more underrated movies. He's been in some Bruce Almighty.
Oh yeah. Unfortunate Events. The guy's just amazing. He's a great actor and great comedian. And I think what really helped with this was because he tried doing... he has done serious roles before. But I think the last thing he did was the Kick-Ass 2 movie. I think that might have been the last thing...
Man, he was in that movie.
He was, yeah.
I forgot. It wasn't a... Was his character Stars and Stripes?
I think so. It was something like
that. I don't know why I wanted to say that, but I thought he was playing like a Captain America-like character.
In a way, like a gun crazy kind of like American Patriot, yeah. But I think that was like the last big thing that I remember him in. Because I'm pretty sure after that he did Unfortunate Events for Netflix. I think that came afterwards. And that didn't last long for some strange reason, even though everybody agreed that he was the best part. I thought
that was Neil Patrick Harris, wasn't it? Or was that the movie that...
No. The movie. I'm sorry. Yeah, the movie.
Okay. So yeah, I think that was a while ago.
Yeah. So, never mind.
Dude's had a long career. He's been great. But yet again, as Robotnik here, this is just a fit like a glove. It worked perfectly. I think he carries a lot of the movie.
Because it's kind of like we got the old school Jim Carrey, but at the same time, modern Jim Carrey. Because like I mentioned before, he kind of went with that.
Like with jokes that aren't going to completely age terribly. Kind of Jim
Carrey. Yeah.
So some of Jim Carrey's jokes and some of his movies, I think, age decently well. Some don't. But you know what? I think this movie, I don't think it's going to have a problem aging. I really don't. Maybe the flossing stuff, people are going to go, what the hell is that 10 years down the line?
Oh, that's any time you put a dance in your movies or TV shows.
But I think for the most part, this is just going to be it's something that could stand the test of time kind of movie. Like the story of a road trip and a buddy movie, I don't think that's going to go away.
Yeah, no.
It fit perfectly.
Yeah, for a lot of young kids, I think this is going to be like for you and me, like when Power Rangers and Scooby-Doo came out, and then like we had fun with those. I think for a lot of modern kids today, I think this is going to be their movie in like 10, 20 years where they're going to look back on it. It's like, oh yeah, I remember that one movie, Sonic the Hedgehog. It was the movie in my childhood. It's the one that I love, the one I got nostalgia for.
That one crazy dude dancing. Like, dude, that scene with him dancing to...
which I think...
evil.
I think Jim Carrey came up with that on his own.
Did he? I
want to say I read it somewhere. I think the director mentioned that a big part of that scene, Jim was just... I'm blinking.
I'd believe if that was his idea, if you told me. And
improv. That's what I was looking for. Sorry. Yeah, he improv.
I believe that was his idea, for sure. I really would. The part where just the whole dance number is just great. And then turning around and saying Agent Stone. I want to go ahead and talk about Agent Stone, too, because I feel like this character was kind of underrated.
Surprisingly a good character.
Yeah, like for being just the brunt of the joke for Robotnik. And then there's just that one scene where you actually get a compliment from him where it's like, would you like a latte? And he's like, I would love a latte. I love the way you make them. I don't know why that gets me.
It is so great. It was the latte with steamed goat milk or something like that.
Jim Carrey is so damn good, man. Like, even at the end where, like, I want to bring up Uncharted one more time.
Okay, go ahead.
And another thing people say is like, oh, and this isn't just an Uncharted problem. This is with a lot of movies these days, to where the movie is setting up for another movie that is supposed to be a lot better. Cough, cough, Mortal Kombat, to where the characters aren't in the places they should be. And you get to the end of this movie, though, with Robotnik, to where he's got the mustache and he's bald now. But it doesn't feel like I wasted my time watching what the character was before. He still felt like Robotnik the entire movie. You know? Like, I think a lot of the times what the movie misses is it wants to get to the end goal and they don't give a damn about everything before it. This movie did a very good job, and I think a lot of it is Jim Carrey because how great he is as an actor and comedian of just making you just laugh at this dude and want Sonic to beat him. It's just so good to me.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It was just Jim Carrey's likability really went all out with this kind of movie. You can tell he was having fun with this, which is something you would like with your over the top villain. And I think that's why Jim Carrey really worked. His over the top sense of humor and timing really worked for a character like Dr. Robotnik, who, whether it's the video games or the cartoons, he himself is over the top. And I think that really worked for the movie to get Jim Carrey, even though at the time he didn't really look like Dr. Robotnik, but they also give him origins, a way of origin story.
Well, and see, that's what I'm saying, but he still feels like Robotnik in the whole
right,
movie.
Right, yeah,
a lot of movies do that kind of like, well, the characters where they're supposed to be at the end, and this whole thing was a prequel. Whoa, bet you didn't see that coming, even though fucking thousand movies do it these days. But they don't care about the character until the end.
Until the end, yeah.
I feel like this movie cares about it and wants you to have some kind of attachment to the character.
Yeah.
When you get to that point.
Yeah. I like how they give him an actual backstory. Like, I was bullied and I didn't really get along with people too well. And robots were the only thing I cared about. So I dedicate my whole life to robotics and whatnot. It's like, okay, that's really cool. And they didn't just like shoehorn it in there. Like, Robotnik came off as a guy who would try to look down on you with his achievements. So they did a great job setting him up for that kind of a person. Not just a villain, but like a person in general. They gave him a personality. And more than just the mustache twirling villain. Like, they gave him an actual, why is he like
and
this?
And he is a mustache twirling villain.
He so is. Hilarious. Like, they literally gave him like the evil villain mustache handles. And I think it actually looks really good on Jim. I think it looks great.
Like, he is exactly what you said, plus the, like, hey, we get how outlandish this character is already, but we have to do a little bit of grounding the character into some form of reality, so we're going to give him this backstory. And it's just enough to where you're like, okay, you know what? At least I can buy into the fact that this dude's making all these robots. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, great job on the movie there. But, again, the character's so outlandish, I think you just needed that little bit to establish why he exists here. And to put the first design of Sonic back into this retrospective here. There is no way in the fucking world that first design would have worked with Robotnik in this movie. Just the Jim Carrey would have came more across as a cartoon than Sonic. And that is insane. There's parts in this movie where I think Robotnik comes off more as a cartoon than Sonic.
Yeah. And it really helps that Jim it really helps that Jim can make the kind of faces and body movements to have this cartoonish character. But it's a real person, and because Jim Carrey is so well known for those kind of mannerisms, when he does them, it feels like Jim Carrey. It feels real. It feels like somebody who's actually going to be like this, and I think that really does help. It's like, yeah, Jim is like this already, so you can buy into Robotnik being a little cuckoo and moving the way that he does. Like, when he starts moving like a robot a little bit, or when he starts fawning over robots and machines. And like you mentioned earlier, his relationship with Agent Stone, like the most human contact he'll actually have, like tolerate. And it's just like, man, this is a cartoon villain, but it's a fun, cool cartoon villain.
The Agent Stone thing at the end got me.
Oh my goodness, that was so great.
He's just like, what do you say, Agent Stone? It's like just a face carved in stone. It was so stupid. It was so stupid, but it's still got me. But yeah, he was so great, and I feel like this movie just doesn't work without him in it. And it might be a little nostalgia for us because we're older, we've seen Jim Carrey and everything. And we love this guy as an actor, and we think he's a fantastic comedian and everything. But I also do think it works as this gateway to Jim Carrey's career, in a way. You know, for younger people who are, I really like this guy. And then later on in life, they'd see him in another movie and watch him. You know, just because, hey, I remember him from that Sonic movie.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, so I was able to, while we were talking, I was looking up the thing I was telling you about where I've read it, about Jim Carrey's improv. It turns out he improvised a lot of stuff, including the relationship with Agent Stone that you and I really love so much. Apparently he and, hold on, let me find the actor's name. I'm so sorry. I got to stop doing names on these podcasts. I'm terrible at them. Lee.
Oh, I heard you on the last episode of the Ernst Show. Pretty much all but cursed me out, and I'm laughing as I'm editing it together. It's really hilarious.
Yeah, I gotta stop doing names. But Lee Madob, I believe is his name. He and Jim Carrey, they came up with a lot of that stuff on their own on set as they were filming. So that chemistry was all natural.
That's freaking awesome, actually.
It is.
There was a lot of great bits between the two there. Let's go ahead and move on, though. We've been talking about Jim Carrey a little much.
He really helped carry this movie. And besides, you and I, we were naming his movies. We grew up watching Jim Carrey films. So, yeah, it's not surprising that you and I would want to talk more about how awesome he was in this.
I guess the next thing I want to talk about here is something I kind of don't like, and it's because I just don't like the trope, the freeze frame. I think the only movie I've kind of, like, I don't want to say tolerate, but I've enjoyed it a little bit is Deadpool, to where it's like, I wonder how I got into this situation. Let's go back. I don't know. It's just, I guess I've seen so many movies and use it, and usually they haven't been that great. It just was one of those things where I'm looking at for issues with it. It was one of the few things that came to mind, along with a few missed bits of comedy, and that's pretty much it. The action scenes, I thought that was great, especially the Flash time-esque scenes where he's running around with everybody else in slow motion. Those will never get old to me. As much as I talked about the freeze frame stuff, that scene will probably never get old to me. With him just running around the bar or something like Quicksilver in Days of Future Past.
Oh, because it was just so well done.
Mm-hmm. But I thought action scenes were great. What about you?
The few action scenes they have, I think it was well shot, well planned. They didn't try to make it like super action-y. They did it enough to where it was like, hey, we can throw in Sonic's iconic spin move, which happened on accident, which I think was great. We don't have to.
The car scene was really good, where he was driving the car and Tom was trying to blow up the robots.
That felt like one of those old fun movies where the kids will somehow manage to get behind the wheels, and it was great, and they didn't make a huge.
See, that's something I think this movie does too. Is it's one of those things that, like, it feels like this movie is modern, but it feels like it could have also been made at any point in time.
Yeah, if Steven Spielberg did something like this.
Yeah. Like, I could see, and again, the CGI wouldn't look as good, obviously. I'm just saying in terms of, like, the comedy doesn't seem like it ages itself. It doesn't seem like the action ages itself.
I think it's because they played it kind of safe.
Yeah, they played it safe, but with more depth and heart than they could have.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why I think I look so fondly upon this movie. As somebody who's not even that huge of a Sonic fan, I thought this movie was going to completely suck. And by the end, I was like, this was really solid. Like,
yeah,
it's not perfect. It's not like I'm over here about to give it a 9 or a 10. But I'm like, this was really solid. I'm kind of excited to see a sequel.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's not even like, oh, it's good for a video game movie. Like, no, just in general, on its own, it's a fun, solid family comedy,
buddy road trip, whatever you want to kind of call it. It fits that mold, and I think it does so pretty well. And real quick, one or two sentences, how do you feel about the Tails thing? I thought the Tails thing was really good. I thought it was a great little sequel banding kind of is what it is at this point. I thought this was a pretty good little post credits teaser to tease, like, hey, Tails is here, because everybody was asking that when this movie was being made. Where's Tails? Where's Knuckles? And we're going to get Idris Elba's Knuckles in the sequel, too, which is fantastic.
Awesome, yeah.
What did you think of that and Sonic 2 before we get into final ratings?
Look, so I'm glad nobody else was in it. Well, there were a few people in the theaters with me. When I went in, it was one of the early showings, because I, as a grown man, should probably not be walking into cartoons by myself, but I do anyway. All right, I'm going to go watch that Pixar movie by myself, darn it. Well, I'll bring my nephew if I can. But I was sitting in there by myself watching the Sonic movie, and there was a family behind me. when Tails popped up, when the ring popped up, I was like, oh, please, 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 please. And when Tails popped up, I let out a yes out loud in the theaters as if it was like a Marvel movie or something. Look, I love Tails. That's my boy. Tails is my favorite. And when he popped up, I was happy as if it was like a Marvel movie, a Marvel stinger. And I was excited for a sequel. Man, I was happy. I'm sorry, you said one or two words. Super happy.
No, you're all good, man.
Yeah. I was waiting for us to talk about this. I was like, out of everything in that movie, that was the one that gave me a big yes.
That's hilarious. Again, I just thought this was great. I'm very excited for the sequel. Idris Elba's Knuckles was something where it first happened. I was like, I don't know how to feel about it. Then we've heard a little bit of him. I think it's going to work. I think this is going to be a sequel that's going to be kind of like the first movie to where it's just fun. So let's go ahead and get the final ratings. I'm kind of naturally going into it. As always, just kind of mention, if we give something a 6, 7, doesn't mean we hate it. 6 is above average, 7 is good, so on and so forth. So, Michael, what are your final ratings for Sonic the Hedgehog? What score are you going
to
give it?
To be honest, for me, it's a solid 8. Mostly because it was surprisingly good. I'm going to give props where it's deserved. There's two people who wrote the script. I just had their names. I'm so sorry. Again, I shouldn't be reading names anyway. But Josh Miller and Pat Casey, they did a great job giving everybody a bit of character and reason. And again, Ben was great as Sonic. And I think he really did a great job of playing this childlike character. Jim Carrey, of course, stole the show. And he was definitely the life of the movie. Well, I mean, the relationship between Tom and Sonic was great. Don't get me wrong. That was the life. I guess that's more
of that's the heart of the movie.
Yeah, the heart. And Jim Carrey, he was the life. He just made that movie so watchable. When Sonic, usually when movies take away from the main characters like we mentioned before to the human characters, it tends to go off the rails. But with this, I loved every second Robotnik was on screen. So when they went away from Tom and Sonic, I was okay with it because that meant we got more Robotnik. And I was like, yeah, give me more Robotnik. I'm fine with that. So it was a good balance between both stories and all the characters. So for me, it was a solid 8. Great fan service that wasn't really fan service-y. Some great Easter eggs. And I don't know, this Sonic definitely stands on his own.
I agree with mostly everything you said here. Like you mentioned that Sonic and Tom are the heart of this movie. I'd say Jim Carrey is the personality of this movie. And I think it has a lot of great things going for it. A lot of the comedy works. A lot of the action works. They're not all of it, though. I think this is a very good movie. It doesn't have a very complex storyline, but it works. And I don't think it's ever going to be like, oh, this story, it's lame because it's been done thousands, thousands of times. The family-centric road trip, it's probably never going to go out of style. So I think it's a very good story. I think it has a very good ending. It sets up a very good franchise. And I think this movie is just very good. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. I'm also leaving a little bit of room for the sequel potentially being better, because I think it very well could be. Because I really do like Knuckles as a character. Very excited to see what Idris Elba brings to the role. As well as Tails being introduced in here. Finally. I think that's going to be interesting to see too, man. I think it's going to be interesting to see more CGI characters added to this. And see, are they willing to give those CGI characters way more screen time and let characters like Tom and Maddie fade away a little more, because it's got to naturally happen.
Well, the thing is, so far in the trailers that we've seen, they haven't really shown a whole lot of the other human characters.
Which I think is a good thing. I don't want the characters gone, especially because the ending of this movie kind of made it seem like Sonic is part of their family. But if the sequel were to be a movie where they take that back seat, and it's more about the Sonic Knuckles, Tails saga with Robotnik coming back. Would not have a problem with it at all. So, very excited for that movie.
They haven't shown a whole lot of Tales either. Actually, they haven't shown a whole lot of the movie. They really kept things under wraps, which I'm actually excited for.
And I'm really hoping it's a surprise hit like the first one. But let's go ahead and get out of here. Let's talk about what we are working on and where can people find us. Michael, what you're working on? Where can people find you?
Well, I am actually working on quite a few things, actually. I just finished my Submerged Hidden Depths preview, which you can find at Bagel Games. I am currently working on the Fix Fox preview. And after that, I just received my review key for Tunic. The fun little Zelda-esque Fox game that I'm sure I've talked about on our gaming podcast before. And that's going to happen. That review is embargoed for another couple of weeks, so I can only talk about so much of that. And you can find me, and I'm still playing Horizon, so, you know, that's my leisure time off. But you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. And if you find a weirdo in a Fox hoodie, congratulations, you are in the right place.
You can find me here on this podcast. You can occasionally find me over on our gaming podcast. I want to thank Michael for joining me. I want to thank anyone else for listening in. We recorded this episode on March 1st, and I'm not really sure when it's going to be dropping. Ideally, I want to post this on March 12th. So hopefully, everybody loved our most likely belated spoiler talk on the Batman. Again, that episode was probably a bit late due to how our schedules were, us actually going to watch the movie when we can all get together to talk about it and all that stuff. So hopefully you really enjoyed that spoiler talk. If this episode is posted on the 12th, the next episode of this confusing podcast will be part two of our ongoing How Would We Reboot the DCEU? Clash at the Stash, featuring Tristan and Drew. But until then, have a great weekend.